Praise the Lord. Let's all stand if you will. Let's go before Him in prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we account it a great privilege, Lord, to be gathered in Your precious place You provided for us. Lord, we ask, Lord, this morning that You clear our minds, Lord, of everything outside of this. Lord, what You have for us this morning. Lord, may we yield ourselves to You completely, Lord. Lord, we just ask You to move in a mighty way this morning. Have Your way in everything that's said and done. Lord, we'll be sure to give You the glory and honor. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. We sing that little chorus, God still moves. God still moves. Amen. God still moves. God still moves in the heart of His children. God still moves. He does not sleep. No. Turn around, only believe. To page 4. I love Him. Amen. Gone from my heart, the world and all its charm. Now through. Salvation. think about it. Came from. Once I was lost and way down deep in sin. Every one of us, saints. Every one of us. Once was a slave to passions fierce within. Once was afraid to trust a loving God. Not anymore. Amen. I know He's over me. He's protecting me. He's leading and guiding. But now I'm cleansed from every stain through Jesus' blood. Hallelujah. Amen. Once I was bound, but now I am set free. Hallelujah. Once I was blind. I think we can all say that. Once I was blind, but now the light I see. Once I was dead. Amen. Listen to the words in this song, saints. But now in Christ I live, only by His grace, to tell the world around the peace that He doth give. Amen. Amen. I used to look down on people, you know, because they got a long way to go. God still has a way to get a hold of their heart. I was that person once. Amen. If it wasn't for His grace, where would I be today? Amen. You may be seated. That's why I love Him, because He first loved me. Amen. Let us never forget it, saints. Keeps us humble. Let us know we're not as big as we think we are. Amen. He's in control. Page 683. Same book. Amen. I'm so thankful for His grace. I know without Him I would be nothing. Without Him I could do nothing. Amen. Without Him I would be drifting. So thankful for his grace, saints. Never want to forget it. Always keep it before you. Amen. Brother Paul, would you take up the offering this morning? Amen. Go ahead, brother.
Our Jesus, Heavenly Father, as we come before you this day once again here, as we gather in the house of the Lord, Lord Jesus, just to come worship you once again, just hear from you, Lord Jesus. That Lord comes forth, Lord Jesus, and just find right away in my heart, Lord Jesus. And may you comprehend, Lord, give us eyesight, Lord, we can see, give us revelation so we can understand, Lord Jesus. And take it to heart, Lord Jesus, not just putting one ear and out the other, Father. Just, Lord, just reveal it to us and open it to us and may bring a realization to us, Lord, what time we're actually living in, Father. We don't realize how close it's getting to us, Father. We just pray it is open. This day now. We just want to thank you for all your natural blessings you've given us here, and we just give a portion back to you, Father, for the fullness of your word, kingdom, Lord, wherever your clients need. And we just give it to where it needs to go, Father. And we ask you to just bless it now, bless each and every one that gives. In Jesus Christ.
Amen. Mercy rewrote my life. Mercy. Rewrote my life. God's mercy rewrote my life. I should have fallen. My soul passed down. But from him, all the ones that can't be with us and want to be, as we bow our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, the author and the finisher of our faith, Lord, we are so privileged, Lord, to be able to come before you with our needs. Lord, as human beings, Lord, as you know, we have so many needs in this life. Lord, and the most, Lord, we need now, Lord, is revelation of thy word. Lord, for if we had revelation, Lord, it would take care of so many other needs in our life. Lord, understanding that you control all things, Lord. You know all things about us, Lord, great and small. Lord, we yield unto you this morning, Lord, knowing that you know, Lord, and you can take care of every need in our lives, Lord. Lord, we raise our hands, Lord, signifying we have a need. But, Lord, you know more about us than we know about ourselves. Lord, you know if we are, our hearts are going out for a loved one. Lord, we just appreciate, Lord, if you'd reach down and touch him. Lord, just lead and guide him, Lord, to, Lord, that land of perfect peace. Lord, where they won't have to fear and struggle, Lord, and not know what's coming next, Lord, but they trust in you, Lord. Lord, we just ask, Lord, that you bless Brother Bobby sitting over there and the veterans. Lord, we just, our heart goes out to him this morning, Lord. It's got to be so hard, Lord, to sit there all by yourself, Lord, and nobody to fellowship with. Lord, just let him know our hearts is with him. Lord, Sister Marilyn and Brother Leffler, Lord, we ask you to continue to bless them. Lord, and each one in here, Lord, that has a need, Lord, that maybe we don't know about, Lord, but you do. Lord, we just ask you to take care of every situation now. Lord, we ask you to, Lord, bless the word to our hearts this day, Lord, as it comes forth. Lord, that's why we've gathered here, Lord, to grow, Lord, another, climb another rung on that great ladder, Lord. Lord, may our desire be to hear thy word, Lord, and apply it in our life. Lord, just have your way and remain in this service now. We'll give you all the glory and the praise and honor. In the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. You may be seated. Amen. Anyone have a special this morning? Justin? Come on up, brother.
Good to be here again. I thank the Lord to make it possible that I could be here. When justice called for payment of sin, no one worthy could be found among men, but the precious of God, with the crown and crown, paid a debt by the blood of the Lamb, paid in full by the blood of the Lamb, free from sin, free to live, now I am. It reads on the page where my sin was written down, paid in full by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, how great was the debt that I owed, bound to pay through the seeds that I sowed. In Jesus my Lord, what great treasure I have found, I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. It's paid in full by the blood of the Lamb. I'm free from sin, free to live, now I am. On the page where my sin was written down, paid in full by the blood of the Lamb. It's paid in full by the blood of the Lamb. I'm free from sin, free to live, now I am. And it reads on where my sin was written down, paid in full by the blood of the Lamb. And it reads on the page where my sin was written down, it's paid in full by by the blood of the Lamb. It's paid in full by the blood of the Lamb. Yes, it's paid in full by the blood of the Lamb.
Thankful. Amen. My sins are paid in full by His grace and mercy, by His blood. Amen. Let's all stand, if you will. Let's ask our pastor to come, deliver what the Lord's laid on His heart. May we be hungry and keep our hearts open this morning. Let's sing out low chorus. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe all things are possible. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Lord,
Heavenly Father, we again this morning come humbly before You, knowing that You truly, as our brother already said, the author and finisher of our faith, and that without You, Lord, we can't even move in a right way. We can't even think in a right way. Our eyes can't see the right things. Our feet excuse me, our feet cannot walk the right direction, Lord. Oh, God, help us, Father. We come before You today and before Your word, and how we uphold it before us, and we respect it greatly, Lord. Oh, God, how great Thou art. We ask that You would speak to our hearts through it and open our understanding. And Lord, get us ready for this great catching away that's so soon to come. Oh, help us, Lord. Let a desperation strike our hearts like never before. In reality, Lord, we ask it in Your glorious name, Thy will be done now, as we yield unto Thee. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Thank You, Lord. Amen. I feel His presence. Just so thankful for His mercy and His grace in my life. Because I know without Him, I could do nothing. Thank You, brother. But we find here, let's turn to scripture we read there Thursday evening. We want to kind of pick up from there and go back into the 2 Corinthians 4th chapter. Let's read this. As I said, we read it Thursday evening. If those wouldn't. And if there was any not here Thursday evening, 2 Corinthians 4 chapter, and let's go 10th and 11th verse. Amen. And we're just talking about, you know, as Paul was saying, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I thought as a child, done these different things as a child would be. But when I become a man, I put away those childish things, you see. So 2 Corinthians 4, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. As I read to you in what the original Greek was saying on that, to make visible or to expose Christ, his personality, to be plainly recognized. But you'll find that what the prophet said goes right with that. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest, there it is again, in our mortal flesh. Again, may the Lord bless during his word. You may be seated. Amen. I'd like to keep that word manifest enlightened before you this morning as we go into this. And again, to make visible, who visible? Christ visible in our life. To expose Christ, his personality, you know. To be plainly recognized. Easily recognized, you see. And to me, that's the greatest thing you could ever really, truly understand this hour, outside of the new birth and knowing where you came from and so forth. But to understand this, it was a great mystery, the prophet said. And if the Holy Ghost don't reveal it to us, then it'll never express like it needs to, you see. So that's what we want to make sure as we go back into these things, that it's a true revelation from God. And you know, that's a very special thing to be able to come here today and to listen to the Word and to have the Holy Spirit come down in your heart and reveal something. That is so special. You realize how privileged you are? If the Holy Spirit will come down this morning and reveal something greater to your heart. Not by something I would say different than what's been said. No way. I'm not interested in that. Just saying what was already said and asking the Holy Spirit to reveal it. You see? Because we've found many times we thought maybe we understood something. We thought we had the revelation of something, and then it seemed like the Holy Ghost come along and bring it out a certain channel or another direction or something, and then all of a sudden, oh my, there it is. And it's so exciting to know that God revealed something to you, you know. And then, of course, once it's revealed, it's just don't go out the door the next day or even 5 minutes from now. It's there always in your heart, you see. For the Comforter, when he comes, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever said unto you. So we realize, as we went through a few weeks ago, what that Holy Ghost, how precious it is to have in this hour. And to know you are born again. Not just have a hope that you are. Or not some even tell me you are. But you know for yourself that you are. It's something you've experienced, that it's something that's real. And it's changed your life. It's not, you know, so many people say their lives changed, but they just keep going right back to the world, right back to the world. Now how can you say you've been changed when the desire is to go right back to the world again? You see, when you really have something real happen, you're a whole brand new person. Yes, it's Jesus Christ living through you. And we want to talk about that life today, that life manifesting through us. And that's why we wanted to read the scripture this morning. We read again and kind of pick up on this. But I'd like to read first, before we get too far, in this, be not afraid of what the prophet said on June 7th, 1963. He says there in paragraph 299, he says, now, he don't have no hands. He's talking about God. He says, now, he don't have no hands tonight. Okay? But my hands and your hands. Now, think of that. God don't have no hands. But he's got my hands and he's got your hands. Okay? He says, he has eyes in mine and yours. Well, think of that. So now, if my hands is his, and my eyes is his, we want to say some more, My, wouldn't that have to really be expressing something? Wouldn't that really have to be manifesting something that's what he said would have to manifest? See? He said that's what he's using. He is the vine. Now think of this, because Scripture says, he is the vine, we are the branches. And he says, is that right, brethren? Yes, absolutely. Now think about it, what he's going to say next. He says, and the vine doesn't bear fruit. Oh, you know, without understanding, that'd be a little bit confusing maybe. But the vine doesn't bear fruit. And you watch any vine out there, it doesn't bear the fruit. No. It's what comes out from the branches. Okay? The branch bears fruit, energized by the vine. Okay? Is that right? He said, and if the first branch that come out of that Pentecostal vine wrote a book of Acts, actually Brother Smith kind of mentioned something about this, if that tree ever puts forth another branch, it'll write another book of Acts. Wow. No wonder that book of Acts should be so real to us, you see? Right? You know, he brought something else to my attention. I'll just kind of share this with you. You know, I've several times over the years I mentioned about I don't lay things on my Bible. You know, I've been to people's homes and they've laid coffee cups on there, be coffee stain rings, and even the message books and used for coasters and everything. I thought, how can a human being ever do that that knows Christ? How can it be? And Brother Smith happened to tell me, he said, you know, Brother Branham, I didn't even tell him, I wasn't even talking to him about it. He said, Brother Branham told me one time, he said, don't lay anything on that Bible. He said, not even one of my books. Think of that. So it's nice to know you're in the right tune. You know, amen. Because I never heard Brother Branham say that. I wasn't there when he said that. But anyhow, I thought I'd just share it with you. So if you think I'm fanatic, well, you call Brother Branham fanatic. Yeah, I ain't fanatic. That's what I believe, how real that word is. It's alive to me. It's not just a book. It's life. Amen. For my words is spirit and is life. Is that right? Right. Amen. All right. He says here, it'll write another book of Acts because it won't put forth a pumpkin and then a watermelon and then a pomegranate. No. It'll put forth the same fruit. Now pay attention to these. You may think it's just little phrases that's being said. But every one of these things has a powerful punch to it. You see? It'll put forth the same fruit. Now, next, listen to the next two words. Every time. Think of that, will you? Every time. Because it's the same life going through the vine. Think of that, will you? He says, now, do you understand? Of course, many of them said amen, you know. Okay. But let's just double check some things and make sure we do understand. Make sure this is real in my life. Real in your life. Okay. But just remember, as I wrote down, if the branch is energized by the vine, then its fruit will be the life that comes from the vine. Just to make it in a little simpler way to understand. So that's what we want to talk about this morning. Because again, by seeing this in our life, it'll give us a greater assurance. If we don't see it in our life, then we know we need to cry out to God and get to that place. You see? Because we have to match the word, saints. Okay? And I may read some things today. I may speak some things today that may be a little cutting, a little bit hurting maybe just a little bit. But you know, be careful. Because again, I repeat it many times because people, it goes over the top of their head and they just don't see it. But I repeat again, as the prophet said, it's the most deceiving age it ever was. Right. Is that right? Amen. And people are getting so deceived that to preach the truth and say what that prophet said, though he even said it, but to get up for a minister to get up and repeat it, then they think he's carried away. That's how deceived people's got. people so easily hurt, easily offended with the Word of God, because it speaks out and tells the truth. It shows our life condition, where we're at, what we're doing. It exposes sin. And it's people, as I said, it's getting to the point they're so deceived to do that with the Word, they think it's, oh, you're going too far with it. If Jesus didn't go too far with it, the apostles didn't go too far with it, if the prophets didn't go too far with it, and to repeat the same thing, would a minister today be going too far with it? No, absolutely not. But people are so deceived, they think it's too far, it's too much, it's too hard, you see? And they get to thinking, you don't love me. He's picking on me. No. The reason the Word is picking on you, because He loves you. Yeah. What good is a son if you don't chasten him? It means you don't love him if you don't chasten him. But people don't want love no more. They want this modern religious world we live in today. Set him in a corner. Take it easy. Don't be so rough. The same spirit has moved in the church. Yeah. But the true church, let that sun come down and let it ripen me. And it ain't easy to stand out there in the sun. You ever go out there in the sun this time of the year? That's supposed to be, I think, 91 Tuesday, Monday, Tuesday, somewhere around there. Go out there and just stand there and see how long you like it. Tell me it ain't painful. Tell me it isn't something that's a little rough on you. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is. Same way with the Word. That hot sun coming down, friend. The rocks cried out, it's too much. It's too much. But that little seed says, that's what I want. That's what I'm waiting on, you see. Right? They want all the greenness out of them now. And that's a very precious desire to have today in this hour, is to want all the greenness out of you. Because so many don't want that. Okay? So I'm going to turn to Colossians 1, if you want to turn with me, before I go on to read some more quotes. Colossians 1, this begins about the 21st verse. And let's see what Apostle Paul has to say here. Colossians 1, and begin at the 21st verse. And you that were sometime alienated. In other words, you were shut off from the fellowship of God. Okay? And you that were sometime alienated and enemies. Now think of that. Enemies in your mind. See, our thinking process didn't please God before our new birth. Our thinking process was very childish. Yeah. You know, when I was a child, I spake as a child, because that's the way a child thinks. You know, I mean, a child can't help but to think childish when it's a child, but the thing of it is, it's when it becomes a man and then thinks childish, something's really messed up, you see. So he says, alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. So we know he's wanting to see everything just right. Is he not? Amen. Absolutely. Now we're going to talk about a little bit today about being exactly what God wants us to be. And again, that's another thing. When you, oftentimes today, when we start talking about things to be exactly like Christ, or the prophet said, literal life of Jesus Christ, people don't like that. The first thing they want to think, no, I'm a human being, and I'm still in human flesh, and there's no way I could have Christ-like actions. Do you realize how contrary to the Word that is? I didn't say you'd never make a mistake. The prophet said you'd probably make mistakes till Jesus comes. But even at that, your desire should be to never make a mistake, if possible. And to make a mistake is when you're trapped into something. Not just going out willfully doing things because you want to do it and then come back and say, oh, you know, I never thought about that. I shouldn't do that, you know. But all the time your desire is to do that thing. But to make yourself feel appeased, you think, well, I'm going to ask God to forgive me and everything will be all right. But friends, it's got to be changed down on the inside. The desire has to be different. That's what the new birth does. Okay? So he says, in the body of flesh through death to present you holy, Now, this is what he said, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, the only way you can continue in the faith is through the new birth. Yeah. If you continue in the faith grounded, now listen to that. If you want to continue in the faith, revelation by the things God reveals to you, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you. Now think of this. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ, the troubles, persecutions, all these things Paul went through, and Christ went through himself. Behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. So when he's saying this, his body's sake, that's the church. That's the called out ones. That's for you and I. So what he is speaking here is for you and I, if we're a part of those called out ones, the election. Okay? He says, flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation, or the stewardship or management, God sent him to manage this and bring it forth for our sake and for his sake, for this to be fulfilled in our life and what God's great plan seen that God wanted done, for this all to happen. He knew he was a minister sent there to be a good stewardship of this and to manage this just right. Okay? Whereof I'm made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you. Now think of that. For what was given him from God was for you and I. Okay? To fulfill the word of God. To manifest the word of God. Okay? Let's go on. Even the mystery. Now here he speaks about this mystery. Even the mystery, which we'll get to back, go back to it here in a little bit, what the prophet was saying on these things. Even the mystery, excuse me, the old devil's trying to get my throat. Get out of here. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations. The mystery. Think of this. It's been hid from ages. They didn't have it. For generations, they didn't have it. But now is made manifest to his saints. It's made visible. It's been enlightened to them now. Now they can visually see it, spiritually speaking. Okay? To whom God, now this is election, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the abundance. There's a lot of it, you see. Of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Think of that. Now remember, we're Gentile, right? Right? This mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Let's remember what he said about the vine and the branches. Okay? It's so hard. You may think, well, that's a simple thing to think about the life of Christ, and it's been talked about so much, and it's been read about so much and sort of listened about so much, what the prophet said and everything. But has it really, truly struck a right chord in our heart in this life of Christ? Made manifest in our mortal body. Okay? Let's read it again. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. See, it's very precious. Oh, it's so precious. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay? Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Paul strove. He was striving. He had a strenuous zeal to make sure that he would get this to the people. Okay? That we may have present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Or in other words, full grown. That's what the original Greek says. Full age, mature, finished. And what we're speaking about Thursday night? When I become a man, I put away these childish things. You see? And he spoke of in Ephesians 4 we read, that we come to the fullness of the stature of Christ, a full maturity. Yeah. Full age. Here it is again. See, saints, we've got to be careful we don't miss this in this hour. It's all through the Scripture. It's through what the prophet brought for this to be in our life. Come to full age. Come to full maturity. And quit acting like children. You know? Can you imagine, what are we, let me just say this, what are we when God fortified us with His Word? We may need a healing. That by His stripes we're already healed. And He gives us the Word to fortify us to know it belonged to us. Then if we do everything He tells us to do, and if we're obedient to the Word of God, we can ask without condemnation, and God will give us the desire of our heart. Now what are we? Knowing that Word's been presented to us, we cannot deny that, can we? So many times, can we deny it? No way can we deny it. And then we sit there and say, oh, I don't know if I can overcome this. I don't know if I can get over this sickness. I need a doctor. Nothing wrong with doctors. But when you think that first before God, look out. Something's going on a little bit haywire there. Yeah. Yeah. And Brother Branham even told us, he said, now if a doctor, or if you can't get your healing, he said, go to the doctor. Go to the doctor. Find out what's going on. Find out what you have need of. He even made that statement for. Find out what the problem is. Then take it before God. But the Word is always first. Not sitting there thinking about, I can't do this and I'm sick. And the Word said you're already healed and you keep saying I'm sick and I'm this and I'm that. Or I can't overcome this, I can't overcome that. When He said you're an overcomer and through Christ and Christ being in you, you're supposed to be overcome. And then we make these statements and what do we sound like? 40 years old, Daddy, I love cookies. Can you give me cookies, Daddy? You think, wow, what's wrong? With all, can you imagine how Daddy would feel? Can you imagine how I would feel if my daughters today would go out there today after service and act like a bunch of babies and go out there in the car and get a pacifier stick in their mouth? And say, Daddy, can you take me to the bathroom? Could you imagine? But we become men. We're supposed to. This is the hour and time we're supposed to come to that. We put away childish things. It's time for it to happen. But we got this thing, an artificial goal in our minds. And it's not even set before us that we're supposed to come to a finish line. We're supposed to come to a full maturity. How do we think? Are we thinking, oh, praise God, this is going to go on forever, you know? And I'm going to keep having troubles and problems, and I'm going to still be in sin and dabbling in things of the world till Jesus comes. Wow, you've got the wrong thoughts there. You're supposed to come to full age. And the ministry is given until you come to that. The fullness of stature. And unity of the faith. But we got this thing in our mind, this artificial thing in our mind. I'm just going to keep going, you know, keep going on this, that, no. But is there a revelation that there's a finish line? Oh, my. Is there an understanding there? To come to full maturity. That I got to quit acting like a baby. I got to quit talking like a baby. I got to quit thinking like one. Paul said, when I become a man, I put away as childish things. I thought as a child at one time. Do we still think as children? And we're not growing up? You see so much of that in this hour, out here in the natural physical realm. Used to, you know, I remember, friends, when I was a young boy. I remember I could look at adults and they were so mature acting. I mean, raising their family, and if their children needed shoes on, they'd go buy shoes, not go more buy more fishing gear. And if their children needed a pair of clothes or set of clothes on, they'd done that instead of going on eating out somewhere that cost them $40, $50. But people are not mature anymore. You look around and the older people, you look at them and you think, what has happened to this generation? What's going on? And they get right on up to their 80, 90 years old and still immature. Talk so carnal and so foolish after listening to so much of this word. What's going on? The prophet said the world would go insane. The people would be completely insane. They've even lost the ability to grow up and mature. Friends, I work with men every day of the week, four or five days a week. Some of them is almost my age. And they're so immature. It is unbelievable. So unreal that it could happen. To even imagine it could be that way. You know? Babies fussing, fighting. Can't get along. It's just unreal. Can't raise their families right. Instead of this, they'd rather go buy a gun. Children may need something, they'll go buy a gun first. It's unbelievable. Like I said, it's just almost impossible to believe such thing. And so have they done spiritually. People have been fortified with this word for years. And still, so immature. They'll think somebody's thinking something bad about them, and then they go pouting. They're so easily offended. If you just go boo, they're offended. Tell me that ain't a child. And thoughts of a child. Childish ways. See? They just can't seem to come to maturity. But I'm going to bring your attention today. Again, this is what God's looking for. And this is the time it has to be. And if you don't, you're out of the program, friends. That's all there is to it. If you can't come to maturity, you're just out. I'm not talking about people just comes in the message or something like that, friends. But you watch. You ever see somebody get the Holy Ghost? And how they start maturing spiritually? I've never seen people say they got the Holy Ghost. They don't mature. They're still doing the same old things they ever did. You know? But it's just their tongue rattled it off. I got born again. I got filled with the Spirit of God. But you watch somebody really did get filled with the Holy Ghost, you watch them begin to mature in Christ. Oh, yeah. Where once they was easily offended, no more. You could push them down into the mud and they'd never say anything about it to you about it. Never would. No, doesn't bother them. They just, if it's something they did and if there's something going on that should be, they'll go to the person like the Scripture says. Well, they'll pray for the person, whatever it may be, you know. Now, is these things a little rough? It shouldn't be. You show me anywhere in this Bible where elected, God was ever easy on them. It ain't happening, friends. I don't care how mushy you want to be, God was never easy on them. Look at Moses. God just pushed his neck right down the mud a little further. Look at David. He'd done what he did with Bathsheba and his first child. Oh, and he cried out, oh God, somehow save this child, bring it back to life. But it didn't work. He had to pay for it. Oh yeah. And Apostle Paul, God blinded him to get him where he needed to be. Amen. Yeah. Look at the prophet. He disobeyed his wife and daughter, taken away. And he was in that boat. It wouldn't start. And he's trying to pull the string. And the river was going to swallow him. And he said, oh, God, forgive me for what I've done. I've disobeyed you, Lord. And finally, he pulled again. And the motor took off. His life was spared. show me anywhere in this Bible where God was ever easy on elected. But this generation we live in today, it's got to be all mushy or leave me alone. God forgive such an ungenerated generation. It's become a stench before God's nostrils. You see, God's people are rugged people. They're Christians. They're believers. They follow everything God says to do. Think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was weak? Nah, they stood against that king. Go ahead, throw us in. But they soon seen a fourth man in the fire for them that delivered them. You think that was easy, that standard for that king? And say, I'm not going to bow down to that. I'm not going to do this. You think it was easy on old Jonah? Friends, he didn't go the way God told him to, and he suffered. But God put him right back where he wanted him to start with. Hallelujah. But was it easy on him? No. Do we expect God to be easy on us? No. If you do, you've got the wrong religion to start with. Oh, I get so sick and tired of hearing this pamper, baby, take it easy. You're too hard. This, that, and the other. I'll guarantee you, friend, if you're election, you're going to stand. Can't run a daughter or son of God off. Ain't no way. Get out of here. Too much of this mushy stuff going on today, friends. All you gotta do is look and see what them people suffered in the book of Acts. Look all through the Bible, friends. But we think today, because it's 2020 and we got a message of the hour, we're supposed to have it nice and easy. Like I say, you sure ain't understood something right. A lot of preachers are pushing the nice and easy stuff. You know why? Because they're afraid of losing somebody. Afraid of losing a dollar bill in their billfold. This is one man that ain't afraid of it. No. If you're elected, you're going to stand. When you've stood, you'll stand some more. There you will. All right, let's go on. Don't mean to approach things that way, friends, but I'm telling you what, I can't stand the devil and his works. No way. By God's grace, I recognize it. So we find here, whom we preach warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Don't you think we've got to go through some kind of suffering to get to that point? Oh yeah, you will. Even Christ himself suffered. And he learned obedience to the things which he suffered. Is that right? Absolutely. Whereunto I also labor, striving. See, he had this strenuous zeal. Burning inside of him. According to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Paul could see within himself the excellency of the nature of God in control through that new birth that he had. You see, what about us? Oh my. Or do we have to be pampered and babied? Oh my. The religious world has become a bunch of sissies. Instead of men, it'll stand on the word of God completely. I think you have to baby everybody. Bunch of nonsense. We have seen his star and come to worship him. Listen to what the prophet is saying here. No man, this was December 16, 1963, paragraph 105. No man even has the right to preach the gospel until he's come face to face with God. That's right. No man should be in the pulpit without receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Jesus commissioned his disciples not to preach anymore, but wait in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power on high. You ever think about that? After he left, he said, don't you go out there no more. Because without him there, they had nothing to control him until he came inside of them. Now, the picture was going to get right now. He said, don't you open your mouth no more. You just go to the upper room until you get filled with the Holy Ghost. Yeah, because I'm not going to be here just watching everything you do. I'm not going to be with you. But listen, go to that upper room first. Wait and tarry there until then I'll send you out. Hallelujah. He says, no man should be in the pulpit without receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Jesus commissioned his disciples not to preach anymore, but wait in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power on high. Watch. He said, what the Holy Ghost did when it come. And the Holy Ghost is God, he says. The Holy Ghost is the Father of Jesus Christ. Matthew, 2nd chapter, 20th verse, it says, Mary, his mother, when she was espoused to Joseph, she was found with a child of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the Father of Jesus Christ. And when the Holy Ghost comes and reveals the Word and makes it live just exactly. Wow. When the Holy Ghost comes, it'll make that Word live exactly. Yes. Oh. Then it's a revelation to you, he says. You see it. It's unfolded. It's promised for the hour. Joseph seen that was Isaiah's prophecy fulfilled, Isaiah 9. Unto us a son is born, a child is given. He shall be called the Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. He knew who that would be, see, because he saw the whole thing. When the angel of the Lord told him this, that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. A virgin shall conceive and shall bear a son. Now that was a great mystery, the super sign that God gave to all the world, a super sign that was his son. Now notice, as we go on, I won't take too long, try not to. Notice, we find going on, Jesus, he said the little children here won't understand, but I've got to say something here so the adults will. When Christ Jesus was being formed in Mary, that's when the persecution set in. That's right. That's right. That's when her persecution started, wasn't it? Here she was pregnant with child. And, oh, wait a minute. What happened here? You wasn't espoused to Joseph yet. What's going on here? Something fishy going on. Something don't look right. You know. So the persecution started. Made it look like she was pregnant by some other man or to Joseph before they got married or something. You know, just persecution started now. He says, and it's the same thing in you. Now, this is showing us again, it's not going to be easy on us. Going another direction here with it. Galatians 4:19 says that when Christ, the hope of glory, is formed in you. Okay? Christ is being formed in you when you are dying and Christ is coming to life in you. In other words, a new birth. He says, watch the persecution set in. Yeah. Watch trouble start on every hand. You mean when I got born again, the trouble starts? Absolutely. So many times people get all mixed up and they think, well, I know I got born again. What's going on there? Now all the trouble's starting. Well, look at all these tests and trials and problems and things going on, you know? They think, what's happened to me? Well, listen to what he says. Watch the persecution set in. Watch the trouble start on every hand. He says, watch the devil go on a rampage. Yeah. Just one time you thought you had it? Yeah. Find out whether you got it or not. For the trying of your faith is more precious than gold. You see? Certainly, when Christ is being formed in you, that's when the trouble starts. Think of that. When Christ is being formed in you. Thought we'd just throw it in there as we go along. But now let's go to Christ's mystery, God revealed. What time is it? I'll try not to hold you too long today. I know I say it many times, but there's a lot to be said. Amen. Now there's several pages here. Wow. All right, so let's go on. Christ, Mr. God revealed. Let's jump over to this now. And this was July 20th, 1963. And now, we must understand this, you see. How this life has got to be revealed to us, what it is. It's a great mystery. This Christ made manifest in you. It's a great mystery. So are you just going to get it on your own? Are you just going to sit there and figure it out in your brain? No. ain't going to happen that way. But the Holy Ghost has to reveal it to you, you see. You have to know. You have to understand, you see. Excuse me just a minute. I'm not doing that because Brother George did. I thought, well, it's laying there. I'm going to take a drink. Amen. Help out a little bit. All right. Christ is Mr. God revealed. Paragraph 296. So therefore, there is no school, there's no theologians, no teachings of the Bible among any school that knows anything about it. Nothing. Not about this mystery. They cannot know nothing about it. Wow. It's impossible for them to know anything about it. Now, and surely a little nobody up here that's exhorting upon these things is going to be able to give it to you. No. It's going to take the Holy Spirit to dip it down inside of you. Because, remember, the branch can't bear no life in its own. And you'll know a tree by the fruit it bears. Now, if we sit here today and we're not bearing the right fruit that's coming from the vine, the life that's in the vine and coming through, if we can't see that, something's wrong. Even though we got to say with our tongue, I understand it. I got a revelation of that. No. I'm going to show you and remind you again. It's just amazing what the human race can say with their tongue and their mouth and lie as it's coming out. Think of that. This plain, flat lie, what they're saying out of their mouth, because of what God has us all set up. It's impossible for them to know anything about it. God has hid the senses of knowing it. So you can't imagine it. You can't reason it. Your conscience can't come up with it. Your memory can't come up with it. Nope. He has hid the senses of knowing it from the very elected teachers and everything else. Wow. It's a personal, individual affair with the person. Okay? That Christ is revealed it to them. So there's no way you can get it. Impossible unless He reveals it to you. Impossible. You can't think it about it. You can't. And you may, and you say, well, yeah, but I know a person that can talk about it. And I know Brother Steve, he gets up there and he talks about it. That doesn't mean I got a revelation of it. No. But what you see lived out of here shows whether the revelation is there or not. But the life or the actions that comes forth. Believe me, friends, I've seen it so many times over the years. People talk exactly what Brother Branham say here, and their life's a whole different ballgame. And you can tell the revelation isn't there. The sad thing of it is, the person in their mind can think they have it. And they're actually blinded to the fact of the actions that comes from them. They can't see it. Look at these things. And if you say, He's been revealed to me. Now, you're really listening? And if you say, He's been revealed to me. Now, look how many of us sitting here today would probably say, He's been revealed to me. I'm sure it'd be quite a few of us. You know? But maybe, what if I could show you that same person say that, and every little squeak it happens, they get easily offended. And the prophet himself said the Holy Ghost is not easily offended. Something don't add up. Something ain't real. There's something going on with an individual that says they're born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, and they know Christ. Christ's been revealed to them. And then there's no fruits chucked. What a blinded state to be in. It's terrible. Knowest not that thou art blind, miserable, wretched, naked, and don't know it? Stage we live in. See? And if you say he's been revealed to me, and then the life that Christ produced here in the Bible, that same life that is in him, does not produce itself in you or me. I'll put myself there. In you or me. Then you've got a wrong revelation. If you say he's been revealed, and that same life that he produced in this Bible, did you ever see where Jesus was easily offended? Did you ever see where our Lord Jesus would get up and revile back them that saying all them nasty mocking things they did to him? Did he? What if I can't do the same thing from my heart? What if from on the inside I don't get easily offended? Though people would say terrible things about you. And what if I get easily offended though? It's against Scripture. Yeah. Is that same life producing? Is that same life? Remember, his words are spirit in his life, and he tells us exactly how the woman should be to her husband, the husband to his wife, how the children should be obedient to their parents. That's life. It's not just words. My word is spirit, and it is life. And if the children are obedient to their parents and respect them, they'll have a long life. If not, they won't. No. But it's Christ. That's his life. Because this Bible is his life. See? Okay? Let's go on. And then the life that Christ produces in his Bible, the same life in him, does not produce itself in you, then you got the wrong revelation. He goes on to talk about it again. He says, now if I put a life of a pumpkin in the life of a pear tree, it would bear pumpkins. Would it not? Yeah. Remember talking about the grafting? You know? By their fruits you shall know them. He said it. I just repeated it. Though people don't like it. And when you talk about that and mention things about that, they think the preacher's being fanatical and he don't love people and, you know, he's going a little bit too far this and the other. But it doesn't bother me a bit to say it because it's what he said. Yeah. By their fruits you shall know them. He said, exactly right. So you think you're going to hide it? Can I hide it? No. No way. And if the first... He said, now you put out a tree, a grapevine, and it put out a bunch of grapes, and the first shoot it put out brought grapes, and the next brought out lemons, and the next brought out pears, and the next brought out apples. There's some kind of a grafted affair in there. Something's a little goofy there, you know? He said, there's some kind of a grafted affair in there that's bearing its own life. Every denomination will bear life of itself, but if that original vine ever puts out another shoot, it'll bear grapes. Excuse me. It'll bear grapes just like it did the first time. And if the life of Jesus Christ ever puts out another body of believers. Now, I'm sure probably we claim to be another body of believers, don't we? I sure hope so. If the life of Christ ever puts out another body of believers, it'll bear the fruit that the first one did. Now he's going back to that life of Christ made manifest, you see. All right, we read in the Scripture. They'll write a book of Acts behind it. Because it'll be the same, he repeats, same life. Not different. It'll be the same. Now we may think, oh, I don't need this. But I'm going to tell you what, whether you realize it or not, this is getting you ready for a rapture. Yeah. See what I mean? You just can't get away from it. I'm glad we can't get away from it. And I don't want to listen to anything that gets me away from it. Oh, my. It's the life of Christ in you being injected into you by the Holy Spirit itself, living its life through you. It's the Holy Spirit itself living its life through you. Now, if I have the Holy Spirit, and if I claim I've got the Holy Spirit, do you mean to tell me I'm greater than the Holy Spirit because so happens there's a bunch of carnality in my life? Doing things wrong according to Scripture? Shouldn't be doing this or shouldn't be doing this. Should do it that way and should do it this way. So I'm tougher and I'm stronger than the Holy Spirit? Because, well, maybe you said it was in there. If I say it's in me and then it happens that way, there's some kind of grafted affair going on there. It's supposed to be, we'll say, a pear, but it's coming out an apple. It's coming out grapes. Well, it might even show a thorn somewhere. Something's going on that don't make sense. You'll know a tree by the fruit it bears. See? He says, blind leaders of the blind. That's what he says next. Notice, God holds this key. No theologian can tell you it's not known. It's hid from them. They know nothing about it. Think of that. So the schools, now just think of it, saints. You're sitting there listening to these things that I'm reading to you, and if you have the revelation of it, you're receiving revelation, or if you already have, do you realize how much, by God's grace, better off than you are than some theologian? That's maybe spent years of training and teaching and all this, that, and still don't know a hill of beans about this. Imagine how much better off you are. My. They don't know nothing about it. He said, the schools, when you say I got a PhD or LLD, he says, to me, and I believe, and to God, and to any real true believer, that means you're just that much further away. You just backed off, see? God is not known by education. He is not known by how to explain it. Think of that. He's not known by how to explain it. God is known by simplicity and of revelation of Jesus Christ to the most illiterate person. Wow. I'm so glad that God did that, because I'm probably right on the top notch of being the most illiterate as far as education. So thankful that he made it possible, that it was simplicity, that by grace I could see it. Oh my. So you don't have to sit here a smart person. No. If you sit here a smart person, you have to be very careful that you are able to still see it. Because that education can get in the way if you ain't careful. God is known by simplicity and revelation of Jesus Christ to the most illiterate person. Not your theology. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. Upon this rock I'll build my church. No other rocks accepted. No other things accepted. No other Roman rock. No Protestant rock. No school. No nothing. But only the revelation of Jesus Christ through the new birth. Hallelujah. He's born in there and he injects his own life. I love that. He injects his own life. And your life is still there? Is that what he said? No, he didn't say that. And your life is on hold? Did he say that? And your life sometimes bounces back? Did he say that? Nope. No way. He says, your life is gone. How's it gone? The Holy Ghost fire killed it. And it ain't coming back to life. It's dead. For I am crucified with Christ. I live, but yet it's not I. It is Christ that lives in me. See? And the life of Christ is projecting... Excuse me. And the life of Christ is projecting itself through you. Now listen. Let's let it be made real in our hearts. And think about what you've done this week. Think about every action you showed this week. Think about how maybe you laughed at some dirty jokes. Think about what you listened to on the radio. Think about what you thought of somebody. And maybe a wrong thought came and you didn't have no idea really what happened. Think about it. He says, and the life of Christ is projecting itself through you with the preeminence to the people that they see the very life. That they see. It ain't all about what you see. It's what others see too. That they see the very life. Remember, Paul told us in the scripture, the life of Jesus made manifest in our body, made visible. Christ be seen. Yes. Others see it. It becomes personal. Oh. Tell me what the prophet ain't saying here in scripture. It absolutely is. They think he just hatched these things up, what he's saying here. They can't see it scriptural. But if they had the revelation, they'd see it from the scripture too. You see? No wonder Brother Branham could get up and say, when he had to stay, if he'd had to stand before the white room judgment, I said exactly what Paul said. So he had this assurance. I said exactly, and he did. A lot of people don't think that way. They just ain't got the revelation looking there and see it. You see? They think, oh, this prophet come along and he didn't know what he's talking about. He's saying something different. No, they just don't understand. They can't see it. They're blind. You see? He said that they see the very life and the works and the signs and the wonders that he did is doing the same thing through you. Wow. Now listen to what he says. Are you ready for this hard sounding statement? It might be to some. He said, outside of that. In other words, if it ain't that, what I just got done telling you, he said, the rest of us not even called to at all. Wow. Now look out, Brother Steve, you're getting awful hard and you're picking on me. You shouldn't say things like that. We're at an age now, it should be in a time where it's all sweet and kind. Get out of here, Satan. How's people going to know the truth if you don't tell them the truth? Outside of that, the rest of it is not even called to at all. Wow. Watch God's great revelation unfolding. Wow. Here he stood before all those people. And friends was nailing it down to what it had to be. And right out told them, if you ain't got this, you're not even called. Wow. Imagine that. And then a minister today can't get by with it. That's what's wrong with these churches, friend. There's too much softness, jello, mush. By the lack of this revelation, you know what we just got done talking about is a revelation? Absolutely, it is. By the lack of this revelation is why we have so many different divisions among us. You see why there's so many divisions? So I message church after message church, this one can't get along with this, and this can't get along with that one, and this one don't agree with this, and this don't agree with that one. But what if we all had the same revelation? And you could go any message church you want to and have the same revelation, and they'd all be in one mind and one accord. But what do we got today? This one believes that there is no new birth, there ain't no change in the soul, there ain't this, this, that, and the other. Why? Because they don't have the revelation. That's why there's so many divisions. That's why it's become like a bunch of organizations. Yeah. Basically it is. But his prophet said the little true bride would never organize. She'd follow that word, friends. But you look what a lot of message churches are doing. They're organizing. this little group of brothers believes it this way, and this group of brothers believe it that way, and this group of brothers believe it that way. But one thing about it, I think we're the only ones I know that believes this all the way. I ain't run onto one yet that'll stay with all of it. I'd like to see if it is. Then we'll have some real good fellowship. Yeah. But they always got to come up with something that's contrary to the word. It's just, oh, it's sickening. But that's the way it has to be. And I'm by no means the same, we're the only ones right. There may be something we're missing. But that's why I keep praying, God, help us to not miss one word, Lord. You see? And that don't make us anything better than anybody else. We are saved by the grace of God. You see? But by God's grace, I'm going to stand on what He gives me. You see? All right? But the lack of this revelation is why we have so many different divisions among us and so much mockery. Isn't that true? So much mockery. Look at the mockery that's going on today. So much division among us is because the people lack that revelation. See, they lack the revelation. He says the teachers lack it. The ministry lacks it. That's why it's got so much divisions. That's why this one says it's okay to do this, and this one says it's okay to do that. We don't care if you do this. We don't care if you nip your hair off. We don't care if you keep a straight line there. It grows better, you know. That's why you got some to throw some booze in the refrigerator. Yeah. That's why you got some to go out and watch some porn. Yeah. Yeah. All kind of just nonsense going on. Yeah. That's why I don't want to say nothing to his sister's dressing immorally, because he likes looking at them. Oh, yeah. Don't tell me it ain't going on. Tell me it ain't, I'll call you a liar. And I don't like calling people a liar, but I'm just going to tell you, you don't know what you're talking about. Right. Yeah. Christ, Mr. God, let's continue on, and we're going to close. I guess we've been an hour already. Let's just read this, and then we'll close. He is the principal theme of the Bible. He was in the prophets. That's what he's saying here. He was in the prophets. And you're not going to find nowhere in here where he's going to say, but he's not in the bride. He's also in the bride. Yeah. He is the principal theme of the Bible. He was in the prophets. He was in the Psalms. He was in the history of the Bible. The Bible is a prophetic book. It's a historical book. It's a book of love. It's a book of songs. It's a book of life. And in there, you find Christ. He was in the prophets. He was in the Psalms. He was in the history. He also is in the Bible. He's the things that is to come. He was before and till after. What does that make him? The same yesterday, today, and forever. Is that right? I ain't going to have time to get to it, but I'm going to show you and remind you again. He's in you. He's in the bride. He's no less. No less powerful. You say, yeah, but the prophet was giving this message. Yes, that's right. Absolutely. It's a message for the bride. That message is life to the bride. To come in the bride. Hallelujah. Oh my. You've got an important role in this, friends. Yes, you do. And that's why it has to be just right. Because God don't do nothing messed up. Yeah. He doesn't do anything and let things be all messed up and mushed up and terrible looking. No. He stays right with that word every time. Every time. And you inject something in there that doesn't make him the same. The same. Yesterday, today, and forever. He says, Brother Lee, where do you go to? You got an awful picture there. There's a lot of awful pictures coming forth today. Because they won't stay with the Word. For he was the history, and he is the prophet. He is the Psalms. He is everything. And if you can't make him everything and the same, what's your picture look like? Do you see it, he says? The congregation says, amen. All right? He is the thing. He is the prophets. He was in them. He was in the Psalms. He was in the history. He is the things to come, the same yesterday and forever. Hebrews 13:8. If you're writing it down, he should be. Then he should be the principal. Is that what he is? And we believe it, don't we? I'm closing now. Congregation says amen. Then if he is that, then he should be the principal theme of our talking, of our thinking, of our singing, of our walks. He should be the principal. What's the principal again? It's first and most in importance. Okay? He should be the principal theme of our life. If he's the principal theme of the Bible and the Bible's in us, then he should be the principal theme of everything that we do and say. Yeah. Or even think, he says, should be Christ. Is that right? The congregation again says, amen. I hope we're all able to say amen to his word. Amen. Won't you sisters come against us, please? Amen. We better sing a song after that one. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for his word. Are you getting ready for a rapture? Amen. Glory to his name. Amen. You know, and you may think, oh, now how in the world could that make me happy and excited, you know? Well, I'm going to tell you what, in moments like this, and seeing that word laying before me, and being able to have the Holy Spirit open your heart to it, in moments like these, I sing out a love song to Jesus. Amen. Let's sing it together. Let's all stand. In moments like these, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my voice. I lift up my hands to the Lord. Sing. Heavenly Father, we come to close another service once more. And Lord Jesus has stood before your word. Oh God, may you, by your Holy Spirit, just dip it down into our hearts and bring a greater reality that, Lord, these bodies will truly be brought under full submission to your word, Lord. That by recognizing these things, Lord, and having the revelation of it, we can yield our tabernacles of flesh to you in a greater way. The Lord will be ready for that great catching way. Bless us now and go with us and keep us safe as we travel the highways and bring us again to that next appointed time, again that you could have the preeminence and you may be glorified above all things. We ask in your holy, precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. You're dismissed. Hallelujah. Amen.